A meeting to order. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Eugene Connors?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hansen?
Here.
Councilmember Shirley Dowdy is excused. Mayor Ronald Ertley?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan?
Here.
City staff Justin Johnson, city manager Ashley Coronado, city clerk Albert Echave, police chief Britt Hansen, city attorney.
Thank you very much for the invocation. Let us turn our thoughts to violence and war that permeates around the planet and have a moment of silence for its victims. Thank you. Let us stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I have no announcements to make tonight, except I do want to thank the Williams family, Nina Williams, the deputy clerk, for all the flowers that were brought in. It was very nice. We'll go to call to the public next. We have quite a few people signed up. Let's start off with Sean Flynn. I believe you want call to the public. Yeah.
Good evening to members of the council and Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to talk about the Wildcat filming that took place this weekend in Old Bisbee. As the manager of Canyon Grove Suites Hotel, the filming didn't affect my business directly, at least not this year, as it did many merchants. However, I am concerned that the people that came to enjoy our small town holiday didn't. Instead, they were locked in buildings and yelled at in the street. The entertainment that they hoped to see and participate in didn't happen. Some people may think the filming was a free promotion of town and will help build tourism and jobs for Bisbee. While it might make Bisbee look like an interesting place to visit, it trampled on two other scheduled and heavily promoted events. The people that came to attend these events didn't get to enjoy them because they were cut short by the filming. These people will go home and tell other people that the event wasn't worth it and that Bisbee doesn't know what it's doing. After all, how could the city allow a film crew to stop traffic and impede on these events? How will this affect our event attendance in the future? Let's suppose that people actually do come here because of the free advertising. And then another Wildcat production company comes to town during their vacation and does the same thing. Then that free advertising wasn't worth it either. Promotion of Bisbee to tourists needs to be a coordinated effort, one that I believe we are doing a pretty good job of between the Visitor Center, Bisbee After Five, and Destination Bisbee. I understand that no permits were issued for the filming and that it had been, the film company would have been denied permission to film on Friday or Saturday. However, I'm deeply concerned that two members of the public called the police department and the sheriff's office and were told that the film crew did have a permit. In fact, the sheriff's office dispatched their volunteers to our town to close our roads. I don't understand how this could happen. First, why did Bisbee's dispatcher think there was a permit? Second, why did the sheriff's office send people to close our roads? I would think that it's not within their jurisdiction. If there wasn't a permit, why didn't the police shut down the filming? Is there a procedure in place to provide dispatchers with copies of permits for road closures and events? If not, is this something we can do? I believe that enticing film companies to come to town and giving them information on what makes Bisbee a great place to film is one of the responsibilities of the Visitor Center. But do we have anyone designated to help them navigate what permits are required? Do we have a film commission? Perhaps this is something we need to look into. I think that having movies filmed in Bisbee would be great for the economy and a great way to sell Bisbee to tourists. But I hope that in the future we have a set procedure in place to verify that they have the appropriate permits and to ensure that they don't trample on other events. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean Flynn. Next, let's go to Lucy St. John. Okay. Next, we'll go to Robert Ford.
My name is Robert Ford. I'm partners with Robin Bray, Nagave Arts. We're located on Shear Avenue. We had no notice that any of this was going on. In fact, the first that I knew of it, there was a guy standing in the street with a 9mm pistol pointing down the road. Right now, my heart is racing. I've most of my career has been spent in emergency medicine, and I'm not doing it now because I've been in emergency rooms that have been shot up. I've been in places where people have been killed. And to walk out in the street and find someone standing there with a gun, I went back into my shop, strapped on my gun, and spent the rest of the day scared to death. Later, gunshots in the street, when I asked the film crew, yeah, we've got permits, and I said, can I see them? They pointed me and said, you'll need to talk to the sheriff, you'll need to talk to law enforcement. So I know the city is not responsible for this, but I feel so ill-used that someone could be in the street with a gun, someone could be firing a gun. They got no attention, none at all, you know. I find it really hard that on small business Saturday, small town holiday, a big business gets to come to town, gets to put people in the street with a gun, and then when you ask about it, see law enforcement. The law enforcement was fake. We love being in Bisbee, but it's hard to be a small business in Bisbee. And I think it's going to be impossible unless some things change. And I just see this as a huge strike against the city, and I hope we can come up with something that's going to make things better for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Robert Ford. Next we'll go to Kara Peters.
Hello everyone, I'm here as a business owner representing Black Sheep Imports. I'm going to go with what the first guy said, right on. There's a lot of anger, a lot of hatred, a lot of finger pointing going on. I just want it to be known as a small business owner, 15 Main Street. That was definitely felt. It was impacted. And I took it real personal at first, because it's Small Business Saturday and we're all like gearing up, trying to get ready and getting involved with the lighting stuff and lighting ceremony and all that stuff. We were trying to promote our town and stuff. So just so you know, it was felt from a small business. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Kara Peters. Next, let's go to Richard Green.
Hello, my name is Richard Green. I live at 603 Tombstone. I wrote up a draft petition, and if anybody would like to work on it with me, this is the first draft, and so there may be changes. There's probably going to be changes, but basically it's what I've been talking about in the past. It states, petition, divest our money in Wall Street, invest our money in Main Street. We, the undersigned, residing in Bisbee, urge the city government to, number one, create a socially responsible fund that invests in things I want to support and divests in things that I do not want to support, both listed next to my signature below. Examples of things that you'd want to support, for me, would be renewable energy, solar power, wind power, local agriculture, small business loans, community transportation, etc. And examples of things that I don't want my tax money to go to would be dangerous fossil fuel development. And that's pertinent because today's the beginning of COP21. I'm sure some people know it's taking place in Paris right now, and all world leaders are over there, and so I think it's we have a moral responsibility to support that and to stop climate change. Also, examples would be divesting in dangerous fossil fuel development, if I didn't mention that before, like hydraulic fracking, tar sands oil development, which is going on in Utah right now, deep sea ocean drilling, and weapons of war, and bank repossession. Right now, the city of Bisbee has close to $500,000, and most of that goes to Bank of America and Wells Fargo in their repossession management. So they're basically we're profiting off people losing their homes, so I'd like that to stop. Number two on the petition would be allow citizens to invest and donate in this fund to get the fund initiated. And number three, support and bank locally as possible. And I what little research I did on the Western Bank, I think it's called Western Bank, it's downtown. They have a AAA rating, and they're considered outstanding in small business lending. So maybe that could be a source for future funds. So I'm going to finish this up, and if anybody wants to talk to me about it, and finalize it and get it to the public. So I hope you sign it. Thanks.
Thank you, Richard Green. Next, let's go to Kathy Soden.
Kathy Soden, 3405 West Highway 80, Bisbee. I have had a retail shop on Main Street for the past 10 years. In my experience, the best shopping day of the year is Small Business Saturday, which was this past Saturday. 2016 has been a really good year. It's the first decent year we've had since 2008, so I really thought we were going to have a great Saturday. However, the street shut down at about 5 o'clock rather than the normal, which was 8 o'clock. I was down 20% from last year, and it was, I believe it was totally due to this whole filming thing. And we can go on and on about how bad it was, but what concerns me the most is the miscommunication with the Bisbee Police Department. Let me first say that on October 15th, which was a Thursday, it was the Thursday before the stair climb, I contacted the police department in the morning because when I drove into town, there were cones blocking parking spaces up Main Street. And in front of my shop, there were four spaces blocked off with cones. So I called the police department around 10 in the morning and said, hey, does the stair climb have a permit to block parking spaces 2 days before the event? And their response was, I don't know, call Public Works. So I called Public Works. Well, they're not required to be there all the time. So I didn't find out that, in fact, there was no permit until 1 o'clock in the afternoon, at which point I went out and pulled all the cones up. So when this whole movie thing happened at like noon or 1 o'clock, the last thing on my mind was to call the police because I figured, well, they're just going to tell me. They don't know. Call Public Works. And Public Works isn't at work on Saturday. So I asked the sheriff, the little sheriff guy, who really wasn't a sheriff. He was somebody's grandpa in a vest that said sheriff. And he was blocking traffic on Main Street. He was not rerouting it. He was blocking it. And there were times when people sat there for 5 to 10 minutes and could not move. And they were being yelled at rudely by film crews. And these people were really rude. They were. And so finally, around 4 in the afternoon, I went, this is so ridiculous. I called the police department. And I said, is there a permit for a film crew in Old Bisbee today? And the female dispatcher, who I called the 432 number. I did not call 911. And the female dispatcher who answered the phone said, yes, they have a permit. Okay? So, you know, I just kind of think we've got a problem with our procedural stuff with the police department. I mean, when the city closes Friday and isn't open again until Monday, who is there 24 hours a day for us to call? And I know what permits look like. They're little packets that have been signed off by council. So what did that dispatcher look at when she said, yes, there's a permit? If she had said, no, there's no permit, I would have pushed a lot harder. I would have gone and grabbed Mr. Connors, who was downtown, and said, Gene, there's no permit. Let's do something. Anyway, my big concern is not all the water under the bridge. It's that we obviously have a very flawed system for dealing with calls and dealing with permits. And the other question I guess I have is, on the busiest shopping day of the year, why did we not see one Bisbee Police Department vehicle downtown? If they had been down there, they would have gone, something's really wrong. Because traffic was stopped, people left. When I went out to give window decorating prizes at 7 o'clock, I was the only place open. Normally people are there till 8. This event's been going on for like 8 years. So, you know, we lost thousands of dollars, and we've got a major procedural issue, and all I ask is that we evaluate what the protocol is, that you tell us who we need to call. My assumption would be it would be the police after hours because they're the only ones there. So I guess that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Kathy Soden. Next, let's go to Cynthia Conroy.
Am I next on the list? Or did you just want me to retort Kathy Soden?
Well,
I'd like to have a buffer between Kathy and me. So if there's somebody else's name on the list, maybe you should...
Let's go to Ian Dorfey.
Good idea. She said so many things that weren't true that I don't know where to start. Let somebody else talk.
Hi. My name is Ian Dorfey. I want to thank the city for the work this government has done to help alleviate the conditions of the homeless and mitigate the condition of homelessness itself. I would also like to clarify what types of individuals have been homeless in Bisbee. And finally, I would like to ask the city to explore the ways in which this government can aid in ongoing efforts to establish a path out of homelessness. Many situations that have complicated and perpetuated homelessness have not yet been advanced to the city. Bisbee has had at least two homeless single mothers in the past 10 years. One woman came here fleeing a situation of domestic abuse. She had a newborn infant and raised her child to the age of two, floating from house to house, sleeping sometimes in vehicles and once in a shack with no utilities. Illiteracy and semi-illiteracy has perpetuated homelessness for teenage runaways and adults. Graduates of the foster care system have found themselves lacking the life skills necessary to get off the streets, and a lack of transportation to and from jobs has extended homelessness for people, especially during the off-season for tourism in Bisbee. This is relevant to both a lack of jobs in Bisbee and the lack of available bus passes under the new management of the Bisbee bus. What the city can do to aid the ongoing work to reduce homelessness and help to create a way out of homelessness is to help the Homeless Task Force in determining how much the city it is currently costing the city to keep people on the streets. I just don't know how to do this, so I'm asking the city for help. Places that have instituted Housing First programs have done so because these programs save cities and states money, and because they are currently the most effective solutions in permanently ending homelessness for the largest percentage of people. Once again, I would like to thank the city for what it has done so far and to encourage everyone to stay the course on this issue.
Thank you, Mr. Ian Dorothy. Now let's go to Cynthia Conroy.
Thank you, Cynthia Conroy, 608 Shattuck, Warren. I want to start by telling everyone that I'm here to thank some very significant people who, between the Bisbee 1000 in October and the event we just had, a combination of small business and Bisbee After Five and Destination Bisbee and Bisbee Vogue Inc., all of us, in our own way, as Christina loves to say, are doing our own part in making Bisbee a successful and wonderful place. And that includes, in case nobody's thanked you, the mayor and council. So I'm here to thank the mayor and council, the Bisbee city manager, because I've been at a number of different kinds of meetings and read a number of different kinds of press, not to mention as a citizen here, I have observed that since his time here, projects that seem to take forever or never get done have miraculously happened. I mean, alleys that I always thought, wow, so why didn't somebody drive a bulldozer through there and get rid of the 25 years of dirt that have drifted down in Warren and people can barely drive? I didn't even have to ask, and it got done after he'd been here for about 6 months. And, of course, a lot of that goes to Andy Heretic and Public Works. I mean, I don't know if nobody else is noticing, but I walk in this town, I drive in this town, I party in this town, I eat in this town. And I have been so impressed over the last year and a half, and I see some people nodding their head. If you cannot acknowledge that our city manager and our public works have taken a decade of neglect under prior leadership and reversed it in a very short period of time, and the part that BVI has played is small, but we did get a lot of pavement given to us, but it's minuscule compared to the amount of pavement that really you're budgeting and the city managers, you know. I mean, I happen to be privy today to seeing Andy talk to one of his workers, and I'm sure, are you talking about that, or am I like talking out of school? There's just, I drive my ATV around, I drive my motorcycle around, I ride my bike, and I'm telling you, this town looks better. I've lived here 30 years. I don't know about the rest of you, but I've raised children here. They went to school here. They all have their own children now. I speak from the perspective of someone who moved here from California because I love this town. I understand this is 150 years old, and I've only lived here 30 of those 150 years, but it is making a lot of progress. And leadership, it has to start at the top, okay? And so I just want to thank the city manager and Public Works and the board of the Bisbee 1000 because, though Candy, what's her name? The woman who just left, Kathy Salden, just made disparaging remarks. I want you to know that, yes, we did have a permit, and yes, our cones that were in the street had signs on them that said when the cone was in effect. Because you know what? I cannot put all the cones up in 5 minutes, nor can the people who are working for me, whom I pay, who are not volunteers. So they do go up between 2 days before the event, and they have a sign on them that says when you can't park in that spot, and that includes in front of her business and a whole lot of others. Okay, so I don't know what her problem is. Maybe she can't read. She just sees orange goes red and doesn't read the sign that's attached to the cone. But anyway, all I can say is thank you, Kathy, for attacking the Bisbee 1000 so that I can defend it. It is a wonderful, wonderful event and happens because it is permitted. It is 25 years old. It had 2,000 people at it. It had, for the first year ever, a celebrity person known as the Congresswoman Martha McSally, who you may not like her, and you may be not be Republican. I happen to be hardcore Democrat, but you know, I met the woman. She is smart. She is working for Cochise County, and you know what? For now, she's got my vote, because as long as she can produce and be very practical like me, I see a problem, I see a solution. That's what we need in leadership. That's what we have right now. We have it with our attorney. We have it with all the people in this room. All of you have lived here long enough to say, I see a problem, and if you don't have a solution, then you better not be yelling about the problem. Okay, so I'm way aside from my remarks, but since all the small business people are here, some of whom are my very favorite businesses, including the Fords there and this fellow who doesn't have the business he used to have, and sorry if I don't remember your name, but I'm lame. I run a small business, but more than that, we have businesses of all sizes in Bisbee, and that's what we need to respect. This town, as Judith said to me, please be nice and please be kind. So I'm trying to follow my wife's advice. I'm trying to be kind because I do get impatient, and I am so sorry about the fact that people who are critical and people who are negative are seen as smarter than the rest of us, the people who just work really hard and hardly have time to say anything other than thank you and things are great. So, Rob Page, that family is a small business. Because why? Because he has 90-plus employees. But that's still a small business, okay? And so, you know, and he has several small and smaller businesses. But if you lump them all together, it's a big small business. And you know what? I talked to him. I talked to Carrie Blankenship up at the pizza place. And here's a quote from her. She said, Bisbee is big enough for everything. Just, and by the way, it is not our best business day, Small Business Week, okay? I'm sorry. The best business weeks are in February and March when we get huge roll-offs from Tucson. The rodeo show and the gym show bring us thousands of people, and that's when they really spend the money because they're never coming back to Bisbee. Bisbee 1000 brings you a lot of money because they don't buy that day, they will buy later. This film company, if they didn't buy that day, they will buy later. The $1 million worth of advertising we get off of something like a inconvenient, and maybe some of them were jerks. I was there for 4 hours. Yes, they told me, shut up, be quiet, move back. I did that because, you know, they were filming obscurely. They were not blocking traffic from 8 a.m. till noon, which is the amount of time I was there for. I had to go to Tucson. So I don't know what happened after that, but from people I've talked to, you know, and even Kathy's remarks, it's like, oh, we're talking about where people were at 7 p.m.? Well, the film crew had already closed down and gone out to drink and eat and sleep overnight. There were like 30 of them here. I mean, try to imagine the boon that they were to this town, but really, try to imagine the boon they are going to be to this town. Try to imagine a future where someone besides Bisbee knows that we're here. So if you're in a small business, you want this kind of free advertising. Okay, I know I've used up my time. So anyway, here's the deal. Carrie said things like, the little bit of bad hype, Bisbee's a beautiful backdrop. We all know it. The Bisbee 1000 is successful for one reason only. It's because it's in Bisbee, because Bisbee's a charming, beautiful, European-built, stair-driven, walking, great, shopping, eating, sleeping town. That's why the Bisbee 1000 is successful. And that's why this film is important. And that's why more film is important. And that's why fighting about permitting is about as stupid as you can get. Because you know what? There was permission by legal authorities who kept everything safe. And what more can you ask for? I support our sheriff. I support our public works. I support the town of Bisbee. And when we are inconvenienced, maybe we should ask the question, how much would I have to pay for this kind of publicity? Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia Conroy. That concludes call to the public. Next, we'll go to item number one, accounts payable. Do we have a motion?
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $212,842.03.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve accounts payable in the amount of $212,842.03. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number two, we will now go to the approval of the consent agenda, only with item A, and I'll read that. Approval of the minutes of the work session of Mayor and Council held on October the 28th, 2015 at 5:30 p.m. Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Item A. Mm-hmm.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda, item A. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Erlin?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number three, discussion of possible approval authorizing the Bisbee Police Department to accept a grant from the Tohono O'odham Nation for the purchase of 30 radio batteries, 2 radios, and 5 desktop computers to replace the current inadequate and obsolete equipment in the amount of $12,000. Alberto Chavez, Chief of Police, City of Bisbee.
Thank you, Mayor, Council, staff. The Bisbee Police Department, with the assistance of Ms. Stephanie Peavy, who's an Arizona Ranger and a wonderful, wonderful volunteer to the police department. She's donated a lot of time to us and had the Rangers and the Explorer Group looking for funding sources to help us out in our, in, you know, our shortfalls when it comes to some of the equipment and things that we need. Being that we're in the financial status that we're at, we have a hard time sometimes replacing some of this equipment out of the budget. We applied for this grant with the Tohono O'odham Nation, and we were awarded $12,000. We would like to purchase 30 Harris radio batteries. Those are the portable radios that the officers use and carry on their belts. 2 used Harris radios. The total cost of these radios fully equipped for the two of them is $4,300. We have 5 of those radios in the department now. Those are that's the next generation, the next best thing, the tri-band radios. They will be compliant with the Sheriff's Department's new system. Those 5 radios that we bought and we paid full price for them cost us around $5,500. They're willing to sell us 2 fully functioning radios for $4,300. So I felt that was very smart move to go ahead and move in that direction. And also we're looking for 5 desktop computers. Some of the computers we have are very outdated. Some of the programs that we use as police officers to view videos, pictures, things of that nature, the older computers aren't compatible with what's out there. We're having a hard time. You know, we have to go to the same computer over and over again to do some of the things we need to do. That'll go a long way to help us in that aspect as well.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the council? I just want to say I want to thank the Chief Achave and the Bisbee Police Department and the Tohono O'odham Nation for doing this, and it's a good thing and appreciate it very much. Council Member Hansen.
I was just curious what the grant is. How long do you have to administer the grant? I mean, to pay for everything.
Again, Stephanie Peavy, I have to give another shout out to her. She's really helped us out a lot. She came forward and wrote the grant for us, and you know, her words were that this grant, there's really little to no administration required on this. We submit our proposal for what we need. They'll cut us the check, and that's pretty much the end of it.
But you don't have to spend it all within a certain time frame, or
this was a last minute change, and so they came to us and said, if you want this $12,000, you have to send us a proposal, you know, right away, immediately. And so we put this together. I know that the from what I was told, the check is already cut. All we have to do is provide them this this approval, and they're going to send us the money in advance.
Okay, but do you? I'm just curious whether or not is it for, you have to have it all spent by a year, or is there any time frame that's?
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't know that there's any time frame, but our intention was to order this equipment immediately.
And then do you report back to the tribe for as far as what you've done with the money and so on?
Right. Again, according to Ms. Peavy, that there is almost no reporting or overhead involved with this with this at all. So it's it was very, she said it was a very simple process, 4 pages. You know, it was easy for her. It would have been very difficult for me, but she got it done for us.
Well, congratulations on getting this.
Yes, thank you very much.
Any other comments or questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move to authorize the police department to accept a Tohono O'odham Nation grant for the purchase of 30 radio batteries, 2 radios, and 5 desktop computers in the amount of $12,000.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other comments? No other comments. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief Achave.
Thank you very much.
Next, we are going to end this long agenda item with the city manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. Yeah, I wasn't gonna speak on this, but I am. You know, I empathize with the business owners on Main Street that were, you know, that said they were affected by this film shoot. I do. I'm not a business owner. Never been a business owner, and I certainly empathize with Bob and what he experienced, and Kara and the gentleman. I apologize, I missed your name, from Canyon Rose Suite. I do empathize. Could things have been communicated better? Sure. We had a permit the first go round when Venture Films came over to Lowell to shoot over in the Chevrolet gas station. Have a copy of the permit. Got a couple of public records requests today. Got copies for you. It was permitted. My only issue that I have, and I'm going to speak from my heart on this one, is when folks start to dump on men and women in our public safety departments, specifically in dispatch. Was it perfect? No, I mean, probably just didn't know. You got a film crew that came in and shot, some say, great publicity for the city of Bisbee. I tend to agree. Could it have been communicated better? Absolutely. If it was our ball to carry. We'll carry that ball. We'll accept that responsibility. You know, the folks in this community, in this city, they work damn hard. And when things happen, when miscues happen, we own up to it. We accept responsibility for it. You know, this past weekend was, you know, it was exciting. A lot of folks were out and about. It's pain points for a community that's trying to grow, that's trying to find itself, that's trying to find its identity, that's trying to evolve, trying to grow, trying to change. It's a pain point. And when I got a call from my council member about, hey, what's going on? I don't know what's going on. What are you talking about? Well, let me find out for you. It's a challenge when something like this happens and you don't have control over it. It's not often that a film is shot in Bisbee. It doesn't happen very often. I spoke to one of our staff members in Public Works about the last time a film was shot. I thought it was when Stephen King was here, but I was corrected. It was a couple of summers ago, and the city staff walked them through the process. any other permit process, Ashley Coronado, she walks them through, she'll handhold till the day is long to make sure you got everything you need. Now, that's seamless customer service. Folks didn't know what they were supposed to be doing as it relates to this. It doesn't happen very often. But all I can say is I can empathize with the business owners that were affected. Kelly, if you were affected as well. I can only empathize with you all. But the reality of the situation, you don't know what you don't know. Next time it happens again, from the standpoint of another film crew wanting to come down, and I understand it, that as a result of this, folks are interested. You best believe we'll walk them through the process. And everybody's looking for a story and trying to find somebody to lay blame. Pick me, pick the sheriff's office, pick whoever you want to pick. That's fine. Throw it on Facebook. It is what it is. But are we really, all these bright minds in this room that own businesses, are we really going to take this opportunity to capitalize on it and find a positive in this? And how are we going to make this thing better? And how can we truly, you know, identify an asset in the film community that may want to come in here and do some things down here? That would be fantastic. If we use that, the energy that we are spending on maybe talking about some things that may not be as positive, and the reality is maybe they weren't, and they weren't. But can we spend that energy in trying to identify ways in which, and I'm glad the recommendations came forth. You know, it's probably helpful that dispatch knows what permitted events it's got to do. No muss, no forth. No muss, no fuss. But realistically, you know, we'll do it better. We'll make it right, especially if it's our ball to carry. So that's all I have to say about that. I'm not going to belabor this point any longer. So I'll jump into my manager's report very quickly.
Okay.
In the area of public works, as mentioned at the last council meeting, the streets division, they aren't paving as of this month, but however they're going, you'll see them going through and doing some edge of road work throughout the community, and as well as some driveway additions on public right of way. Andy has decided to change uniform companies to UniFirst, which is a new state contractor, and he'll see a savings of over 30% on uniform bills for all divisions of public works. In the parks division, they completed the overseeding of Grassy Park and the Muleheim House. The fences have been removed and the grounds are open for business. Sanitation, they placed two large dumpsters in the Warren area, kind of a pilot project so that folks can come in and dump their green waste into that dumpster and we can collect it in that one central location. Recycling, the city staff placed four recycling stations in Warren, Mill Road, and 30 Terrace. On the wastewater division, we finally have full completion of a preliminary engineering report, upgrades for the wastewater treatment facility. So I'll really take this opportunity to encourage you all to get out there and check it out. They did an outstanding job, and I've got to recognize Jason Linden, who was the project manager on there, and he did an outstanding job in getting that done. And I'm throwing out thank yous. I've got to thank, with my whole heart, Lorena and Sida up in Public Works, because they did one heck of a job in pulling off that the Festival of Lights events. And if you missed it, you missed a treat. They did an outstanding job, and they worked tirelessly in ensuring that we saw another successful event. So it was my first one, and they did a fantastic job. In finance department, as you all probably know, we paid our last debt service payment on our newest ambulance, so that fell off on today, December 1st. And 20 business licenses, we mailed out 532 active business licenses, and the delinquent date is July 20th, 2016. Sharon and I met with the Friends of the Bisbee Animal Shelter, and they've done a marvelous job with their fundraising efforts, and are looking to they have about $20,000, and are looking for various needs of the animal shelter to help with some improvements. You know, to possibly they started the microchip program, and Kelly was very instrumental in that, as well as Kathy Flood, and very instrumental in seeing that program get up and running and started. And in the library, lastly, the Friends of the Copper Queen Library, in cooperation with Sam Poe Gallery, produced their fifth annual Altered Books art show, fundraiser on Saturday, November 15th, the largest and most successful altered book event to date. The Friends of the Library Board is now planning the 25th Annual Chocolate Tasting Fundraiser to be held February 13, 2016 at Central School. And that's all I have.
Thank you, sir.
Mayor, Mr. Johnson, we have a work session planned for next week.
For December 8th, yes, sir. We have a workshop, a budget workshop, which will provide Mayor and Council a couple of ideas and the staff to chime in on ways in which we can get some ideas to improve our budget situation, changes, things of that nature, and that's scheduled for December the 8th. So thank you for that, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. As well as next Thursday is the Bisbee Economic Outlook Luncheon at Turquoise Valley. On next Thursday.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to council comments. Councilmember Hansen.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to do an update or a status on the paving of the streets. But first, I wanted to thank the Streets and Infrastructure Committee because they have done a tremendous lot of work in trying to come up with a plan. And like all plans, found that there are factors that required deviation from the plan. So that's basically what I want to talk about is how it was set up and then why you're seeing some streets done earlier than they should be and those streets that should have been done early not being done. First of all, there are 98 streets that were on the list. And actually, when we first started, there were several streets that did not make the list that should have been on the list. So that was one of the reasons that there were some deviations. But it was a seven-year plan. And Andy, with his foresight, decided since we don't know what the amount of money is going to be coming in from the revenue of the sales tax, he was using HERP funds to start at the tail end and doing streets in the seventh year just to make sure that they got done, because if we ran out of money in the sixth year, then obviously they wouldn't be done. So he was working from that angle as well as starting at the front, or the front of the list. And the streets were designated or categorized between one and a five, one being the best street, five being a failing street. Economically, it made sense to do those streets that were about to be ready to fail, but have not failed yet. It was the more cost-effective that way, and so that's what we started. Well, there were several other things that came up. One were there any utility companies that had to do work on those streets? And if they had to do work, and it was going to be within the first year or so, then we needed to wait on those, otherwise they're cutting up new pavement. And that's, you know, just counterproductive. The other thing was the feasibility of doing streets that were together. For instance, if you had a street in Old Bisbee that needed to be paved, you're not going to take the truck over to San Jose and get it and pave a street there. You're going to, because the product that you have could very well be too cold to be laid. It could be basically wasted. So they were very efficient in looking at other streets in that area that could be paved at that time. So that was another reason that some of the streets are out of sequence. But one of the things that the committee really was hot on was the health, safety, and welfare of as far as the streets were concerned. And if it became an issue, then that went up to the top. But the biggest problem that we're having is striking that balance between the utility work and paving the streets. Because if the utilities are waiting too long, it doesn't make sense to wait on the streets. So we're really trying to do what is best for economically and also for the citizens, because it's not fair to ask citizens to wait 3 years for a street because the utilities can't get to it. So these are all some of the things that go into the factoring. For the status as of today, as I said, there were 98 streets on the plan. We have paved 24. I haven't paved them. Andy and his crew has paved them. 24 have been paved. Now, the paving's slowing down due to the cold, and it will not pick up again until the spring. But I just wanted to commend Andy and his crew on all the efforts that they have made, and taking a look at some of the streets that people have been concerned about to see whether or not there's some way that they can be done earlier or later because of that health, safety, and welfare. So when we'll start in the spring, we don't know. It's contingent on the temperatures, but at some date, you're still doing some paving, though, correct? But that's going to be stopped when the temperatures start heading south. So that's all I have.
Thank you.
I think there was one other thing on there, wasn't there?
What?
Did you have one other thing you wanted to talk about?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. I thought you were going to announce me again.
No.
Okay. The other thing is I'd like to let everyone know that Council Member Dunn and myself will be in at the Farmers Market this Saturday from 9 to 12. And because we do have this budget work session coming up, I certainly hope we'll get a lot of people coming by and discussing that particular topic.
Thank you very much. Do we have a motion?
I move to adjourn. Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. This meeting is adjourned.